Guys, we have a problem. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You could go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySubs.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep, which is why the Ultimate Test Stack features their best-selling sleep aid recovery PM. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist inhibits estrogen, and recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're gonna feel like a new man after trying the Ultimate Test Stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews on Top Rated. Legacy Sports Nutrition is founded by 3-time world champion and SmackDown general manager, Mr. Nick Aldis, and 11-time women's champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickie James. And they personally use these products themselves. If you need more assurance, they're NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the USA in an FDA inspected facility. And because you listen to this show, you can save 10% off your order at LegacySubs.com now by using Gabby at checkout. That's G-A-B-B-Y. That's LegacySubs.com. LegacySubs.com. It's time to level up with Legacy.
It's about to get Gabby AF.
We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. It's nothing less, cause you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Gabby AF. I am very excited to bring in my guest today. It is someone who I have had an eye on and wanting to chat with for a little bit of time now, and I finally pinned her down. She's a very busy girl. So I would like to welcome Mackenzie Mitchell to Gabby AF. Hello, Mackenzie. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi. I am great. Thank you so much for that. That's so sweet. I, just as you, like, we're busy girls. We're booked and busy. We got things to do, but I'm excited to be here on Gabby AF.
I'm excited to have you. We are busy, which is a beautiful thing. I was talking to you a little bit about this off air because I'm going to start off already a little emotional with you because I feel like I can, even
totally.
Though this is my first time. Well, not first time meeting you, but first time really chatting with you. You are someone that I've been wanting to chat with because, you know, you were unfortunately released by the WWE, and how far you've come and what you've been doing since is just something I really, really look up to and admire about you, because I went through a not the same, similar situation, but I was laid off from a job that I loved. And I'm also trying to get my foot in the door doing a lot of different things. And in this business, it's not the easiest thing. So I love having a woman like you, who's such an inspiration in that sense, who's kind of like, I'm taking the bull by the horns because I know what I'm capable of and I'm not going anywhere. So I'm really, really excited to chat with you about that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a grind. Listen, you know, like you were, like you said, you were kind of in a similar situation as mine, being released from a dream job, essentially, mm-hmm. a company that you put so much time and effort and love and work into. And then you go, now what? Now what do I do?
Right.
Who am I?
Right.
Where do I go? And for me, I was just kind of thinking about this morning, and I was thinking, like, what's the one thing that has really kept me going throughout this entire time of being released from a job and then going like, okay, what's my next plan? And I really think it's my entrepreneurial and my business mindset that I've had this entire time from December and to where we are today, of being able to be okay with people saying no and saying not now, mm-hmm. But also just breaking those barriers and going, what can't I do? I'm doing a musical. I'm doing my show Threads that I so desperately wanted to do throughout my entire time in WWE. I pitched it for 5 years and it just never got brought into anything. And
wow.
So it was for me like having my jewelry business, all of these things really with having a business mindset has just changed my perspective on the entire situation. Something that could have been so negative, but I've turned it into a positive thing because of all the things that I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to conquer this and then I'm going to do this. And it's really just been a grind, but it's been an amazing grind at the same time because I'm doing it for me.
Yeah. No, and it's such a beautiful thing, because I think if no one's been in that situation where you lose a job or something, like, it's just such a blow on your confidence too. Like, you question, you know, your worth almost, like, 100%. Did I do anything wrong? And it's a hard time. Like, it took me a while to even believe in myself again, or bounce back, or like find that confidence. Was that something that you kind of were next day, like, all right, I could be sad for 5 minutes. Let's put my big girl pants on and like start going. Cause it took me a while. And I think that's also okay. Was there any, you know, influences? I know, you know, you have great friends in the business, and I'm sure a lot of people supported you. You know, was there a moment that happened where you were like, I'm not going to quit on this and I want to keep going? Or was it just like automatically you were like, I'm good. Let's keep going right now.
Well, I allowed myself to have a month, 30 days to just really decompress and figure out which direction I wanted to go in. Because I think a lot of the times when you're in a job, you're in a situation and you're going, you have the same routine. You're just, I know I have TV on Tuesdays. I know I need to do this. I've got live events on the weekend. You don't really have time to process and go, what do I want to do? What is it that I like and what I want to do? And what do I want to go after? And so for me, I just allowed myself the holidays. I got released right at December 1. And so I allowed myself like the entire month of December to just really figure that out. And I'm so blessed that I had already had the idea of Threads to get that going and just say like, okay, great. Starting in January, I'm going to start filming these episodes and getting some in the can before I launch that. And I, of course, like so many people, I was on Swerve's podcast and he was like, no, when you got released, you were everywhere. You were everywhere. You're doing all the things.
You were.
And I think that was kind of me also setting things up for the future, but allowing myself to have that emotional time to go through and be sad, be happy, figure out my worth, go, what happened? Be confused, but also at the same time, like, know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and keep that momentum going while putting on that business mindset hat and going like, my brand is a business. So how can I continue my brand in a different way? You talked about influences. Matt Cardona was 1,000% one of my influences. He still is. And I tell him this all the time. He's so like smart and savvy when it comes to business and what he's done, particularly outside of WWE when he was Zack Ryder and then made his transition of like, this is me, this is Matt Cardona. I really admire that. And so he's almost been like a big brother to me of kind of leading and helping navigate that world, because it's confusing, but it's also at the same time having those leading voices and that guide is really nice to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny you mentioned Matt Cardona, because I talk about Chelsea Green being like someone who was released, and now to me she's must watch on WWE like every single week, because I'm such a big fan of her. And obviously they're married, so I guess they're the company you keep and the people that are working so hard in the business. And he was an awesome episode of Threads when you had him on too, because I thought he's just insanely entertaining in everything he does. But Threads is crushing it right now. You have like, what is it, like over 5,000 subscribers already, and it's only been like 4 months.
I'm like blown away. I started the channel February 1. We're now at May 15th and I have over 5,000 subscribers. And so
amazing.
A friend of mine was like, you know, Mackenzie, it takes like sometimes people a year to get even 10,000 subscribers.
Right.
And I was surprised at that, but I think it really just speaks to the volume of the content that I'm putting out and those stories, those untold stories that I was trying to fight for whenever I was pitching my show to WWE, and also a different demographic. We're women. We care about style. We care about fashion. We care about looking good and presenting ourselves, but also on a deeper level of a character coming to life with what you are wearing on television. Like, there's a psychology to that that I don't think people really understand or think about, more so, not understand, but think about a lot of the times when you're watching a television show. You look at Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch when they were wearing this outrageous stuff to the ring, and you're like, immediately you go, that's a superstar. That's a superstar. That's someone that, like, they walk into a restaurant, everyone's head turns and goes like, who are they? Now, they're not wearing that all of the time to like a Waffle House or walking into a casual McDonald's. But still, when they're on television, their presence is felt. And I think that a lot of those conversations of how they were choosing and the time that was going into creating that process of a character, I think those were missed. And so with Threads, it's able to bring that to light and have those conversations, those untold stories really come to life in this episode that I don't know if those questions would have ever been asked in a standard interview, but we're getting down to it in a show that's specifically about fashion and style.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just like trying to weed out the female wrestling fan base, because it is there and it's growing, is such an amazing thing that you're doing, because people don't think about that. Like what you're saying, you're not like, everything's a conscious choice on TV and through that kind of stuff. So like Seth isn't just putting on those crazy shoes or that crazy jacket by chance, you know? Becky's not just doing that because it was there and she threw it on. Like everything is for a reason, and fashion is so huge just in pop culture everywhere. Like talk about the Met Gala. I tweeted out, and I want to ask you this, even obviously Seth is an obvious choice, but I said like, what pro wrestler do you think would own the carpet at the Met Gala? Like who are some wrestlers that you yourself, knowing them and their fashion, like you think would crush it?
I think Seth and Becky obviously are standouts. Right. This is going to be an interesting comment, I think, but Rey Mysterio would steal the stage. I think he shows up and he has a very tasteful way to some of his clothing, whether it's like designer or it's just something really different. I mean, you look at his masks throughout the years. He has his own homage and two different masks. I think he had a Spider-Man one at one point. I think he had taken a Louis Vuitton bag and cut it up and made it a mask at one point. Like so freaking cool. I think Rey Mysterio would be like hands down super cool at the Met Gala. And then I also will go Jade. The stuff that Jade is wearing on television right now, she's such a badass and such a good human to begin with. But I think Jade would really rock the Met Gala and rock the red carpet. Like she's such a standout, and I'm excited to see what she does in WWE.
Yeah, and then also obviously her partner Bianca, who designs and like makes her own clothing. Could you imagine the two of them walking down together? Talk about like female, I know. Like, just owning shit. Like they, the two of them together, by the way, how much have you enjoyed seeing their outfit choices on WWE? Because I don't even think it's fair to other tag teams how much they're crushing it.
I love it. I love it because I think they're both so in tune with their characters, but they're also in tune with their style and fashion and their individuality and who they are as humans, but they make that work together as well. And they're creating these outfits, this gear, the purple, like they're also tapping into pop culture of Beyonce and the country run that she's going into now. Like they're really taking note of that and pulling those pieces into their attire. I actually have Bianca scheduled for an episode of Threads, and I'm so excited.
So good.
Because I remember telling her I wanted to film an episode with her, and she said, yeah, like when? And this was basically when she first won the title at a WrestleMania. And then we ended up now going down the road, like it's years later, but we're gonna get to make it happen. So I'm excited for that.
Oh my God, that's gonna be a really good episode. Damn, I'm excited. Yes. I mean, you've had some really good guests so far. The Bellas were awesome. I thought Manny Sachs was really, really good as well. Like it's such a just a cool different take on these conversations that you're having. And you know, I was wondering this. I don't know if this is like hard for you to talk about or even just to answer, but do you still watch the product and enjoy it because so many of your friends are still in it? Or is it kind of hard for you because you're not a part of it in the same way that you were before?
You know, I definitely am still watching the product. I'm watching Tuesday nights for my husband. That's for sure one thing I'm doing. Roxanne Perez, with my jewelry line, have been making her custom pieces through Headline. So, of course, I want to see it happen. I was at Stand and Deliver at WrestleMania weekend just to watch my friends and to watch Trick Williams on his rise and what he's doing. And he's also a fan of Headline and wearing my pieces to the ring, which is so fun. I think I also was watching so much when I was with WWE. I was watching on Monday, watching on Friday, watching on Tuesday. Now I'm taking that and really stepping away a little bit on the Raw and the SmackDown side. NXT will always be my home. It forever will be my home because I'm so close to Shawn Michaels, lead writer Johnny Russo, my husband's there, Booker T is a friend of ours. So it's just the talent, of course. So I'm still watching NXT almost weekly, but I'm allowing myself space too, because I can't be too connected to it. Of course. Know what I mean? It's a tough line to toe.
It's hard. It's a hard balance. It really is. But you also can't, like, I'm sure you look back at your time there too, and like that's where you met your husband. So, and then some of your best friends, I'm sure, in the world, and you've learned so much. So I've been trying to be more of a positive person and looking back on things, which it's a struggle to do, to keep that kind of balance. So I completely understand. But yeah, I mean, you talk about your husband too. Talk a little bit about your guys' relationship and like meeting him, because you guys have such a beautiful relationship. I see you guys post a lot about each other, and like, aww, it's just so cool to see. And like, you do still support him on Tuesdays and stuff. So I'm sure he's been such a champion for you in your corner with all these new ventures that you have.
Absolutely. He's my rock 100%. When I first got fired from WWE, it was very strange, because we had this routine of knowing that we would get up on Tuesdays, we'd get ready, we'd go to TV together, we'd hang out some during the day, maybe not, because I do backstages, and then we'd collect at the end of the night, go home, have our McDonald's, Taco Bell, whatever, go to bed. Like, we knew that, and we also were able to talk about the same things and understand each other's lifestyles to a T. Now, that we're doing different things and we're on different schedules, it's an adjustment for sure. We're just trying to kind of figure out. I've been on the road for almost 6 weeks for this musical that I'm doing. So he's been traveling when he can to come and see me, to bring the kids, to bring the dogs, to like come and hang out and see the show. He's just the most proud of me, and I'm so very lucky for that. But we try to keep our life separate from our work life as well, because it's inevitable that they're going to mix and come together. But at the same time, you have to have that compartmentalization to go, this is work, and this is our personal life, and we don't talk about wrestling all of the time. We couldn't talk about wrestling all of the time. So I'm just so thankful for him, and he's just the most supportive of me in any venture that I choose.
That's such an amazing thing, because, you know, it does, things get tough, and it's nice to go home to somebody who kind of gets it, but that you don't even have to talk about it. You could talk about other things, because mental health is so important, and I talk about this all the time, and just to have good people in your corner makes such a world of a difference. Obviously, you mentioned the Last Match musical, which I would love to chat about, because speaking of amazing people in your corner, Mickie James is, to me, one of the best women that I know, and she's one of the most supportive women that I've been blessed to become friends with in this business. I know you're close with her as well. I saw you at like the signings, and you guys get so excited to see each other. And, you know, even before we get into the musical, talk a little bit about Mickie and working with her with this, because I mean, she is the mother, and she's just such a legend, and she's just such an amazing person. So I'm jealous you get to like tour with her right now, because I miss her.
I know. Well, you know what? Mickie and I, we tried to think back the other day when we were talking about this. And I think it was like 2017 when Nick was with Impact for like a hot stint. It was when like Global Force Wrestling, which is Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett's company, they were doing like a collaboration almost with Impact Wrestling. Nick came in. I think Mickie was backstage at that point when I was working at Impact. And I don't think we had much dialogue, but it was like, hi, how are you? And then we just stayed in contact throughout the years, but we'd never been in the same circle. We'd been in other circles, but not the same circle. And Mickie recommended me for this position as Scarlett Sublime in the Last Match. Matt Cardona did as well. And then Mickie reiterated. And so then Jeremiah James, the director of the Last Match, called me, and he's like, I think you're going to be perfect for this role, because not only did Mickie recommend you, but also Matt Cardona did as well. We understand, and we take their expertise like of importance and value. So we know that you'd be a good person in this role. And Mickie and I have just gotten so close. We've been traveling from city to city together, and we call it the Glam Ram. It's a Dodge truck Dodge Ram, and it's me, Mickey, Bull James, and the girl that's playing Fabulous Miss Jenny, Michaela. We just load up in this glam ram, and we have hours and hours and hours of conversation with each other, just getting to know each other and just learn from her first and foremost, because Mickey is a veteran in the business. She's been there, she's done it, she's bought the t-shirt. And so for me, being able to learn from her and just have her as guidance throughout this whole thing has just been so great. Plus to have some like normalcy as well, right? Because mm-hmm. you're on the road, you're staying in hotel after hotel, you're eating whatever's available at 11 p.m. at night and hitting the road. To just have a friend in this has been really, really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And you guys do look like a unit, like for the musical, all the pictures you guys take, you all just look happy and like you're having such a good time, which is such a refreshing thing to see. Like, I know it is work, but it looks like fun too. And yeah. I think it exudes because the reviews and what people have been saying about this show are insanely good, like such high praise. Like, it's being talked about all over the place now. And you are the commentator and the ring announcer for the show.
I am.
So talk a little bit about the show for people that aren't familiar with it, you know, who are maybe live in these cities that you're going to be up and touring. Like, why should they get tickets to come see the show?
So the last match is a professional wrestling rock experience. So it combines professional wrestling, musical theater, and rock music all in the same show, which is such a wild concept to think about. The show has never been done. It's been something that's kind of was the brainchild of Jeremiah James. He grew up a wrestling fan, and then now to have the show come to fruition and all the pieces of the puzzle come together, it's a really cool thing and moment to see. It's set back in the 1980s. So we're like big hair. Like, as you can see, I've got pink makeup on today. I would never really normally wear pink makeup and my hair like teased up like this. But I'm like the standard typical play-by-play commentator from the 1980s. However, we know that in the 1980s, a woman dominating a play-by-play mm-hmm. field or the commentary desk doesn't necessarily exist. And still today, even, it's not really existing right. as much. You've seen Beth Phoenix, Renee Young, Mickey a little bit tapped into commentary, but there's not a ton of females that are at the booth that are doing this. So it's a really cool role to get to play, to be female empowered, to really kind of be an opposite side to the norms of what standard professional wrestling is in a male-dominated industry. So as Scarlett Sublime, my longtime best friend, if we're talking about storytelling, is Fabulous Miss Jenny, and getting to see her rise, which I also compare to my relationship with Chelsea Green. We've been friends since we started in the business 10 years ago, and now to see her, as you mentioned, doing WrestleMania, is really succeeding in WWE and getting the spotlight she deserves. That's how I'm comparing my character and this female empowerment role of what she believes in and what she stands for. My commentary partner is, his name is Jeff Seal. He's actually a circus clown. He's a legit circus clown. So he doesn't come from the world of professional wrestling, but he has some zingers and he's really good at ad lib. And so that's fun to create that dynamic. So we're essentially the Gorilla Monsoon to the Bobby the Brain Heenan of I'm Scarlett Sublime, he's Strut and Jimmy Sutton. He's just like making some outlandish, outrageous comments on the commentary table. I'm keeping the train on the track and really just expressing like, I'm the ball and strikes, and he's just like out here in some other land making these crazy comments that don't really make any sense. The show has been really cool because it's actors, it's professional wrestlers, it's singers all coming together to create this beautiful experience, if you will, for a viewer. And I think it's been like you said, it's been really well received. We've been, every time we go to a city, fans are just like over the moon excited and want to tell us how great it's been and what they loved about the experience. And that means so much because all of our genuine hard work that we're putting into it is being received well, which is really, really awesome.
I love all that so much. I'm a big like musical theater buff. Like, I love Broadway. Before I even got into like pro wrestling, I was like, I'm going to be an actress. And I was like in musicals and like plays and stuff. Was that ever anything for you? I'm just like curious, were you ever into like musical theater or
no, any really of that kind no. of stuff growing up? I like obviously have been to Broadway shows, but I was never, right. I should say this. When I was like a kid at the age of 5, I started I signed with my first modeling agency. So I've always been a performer at heart. I used to sing when I was younger. So it's kind of like the parallels are there a little bit, just not in the world of musical theater. So I've always loved having a microphone in my hand and having the spotlight on me. So it's always been a natural thing for me, pretty much for going, you know, through this career path that I'm in. But musical theater particularly, I didn't ever think that I would be involved in a musical, but here we are.
Yeah. Listen, life is crazy. Like, if you would have told yourself a year ago, like, this is what I would be doing and I'm going to be in this musical, you'd probably be like, that's kind of a random thing to be told. You know what?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? This came at the perfect time because I know there was talks that they were wanting to do this tour last year and then it didn't really happen. We're filming a full docuseries. So this show is going to be put somewhere. All that our struggles and our trials and tribulations and everything that we're doing, it will end up going somewhere. We just don't know where. So the docuseries has been following us around. So that's in itself a little exhausting on top of doing a show.
Right.
But it's really cool because then everybody will get to see this from day one, to get to watch it all unfold. And for me, it came at the perfect timing. I had conversations starting in February with Jeremiah. Obviously, I was released just 2 months prior with WWE. So this fell into my lap at the most perfect time and most beautiful way.
It's like karmic, like when things happen, other things like present
themselves. It's synergy, 100%. Like for me, and it's doing something that I know so much about, but in a different way, in a completely unique and different way that I would have never expected. So I'm really just thrilled to be a part of the cast and get to make friends from all walks of life. And all of us, we truly have a camaraderie together because we're spending more time with each other than we are with our spouses and dogs and family and you name it. Yeah. So we get to know everybody. We always, our sleep schedules are so messed up. So we're going to sleep at like 3 a.m. And waking up at noon. So we're all in it together. And that's been really great to have as a team, as the last match cast. There we go.
Yeah. No, I love that so much because when you like love each other and you're having such a good time, it just, the energy exudes in the performance, I feel like, and that's why it is doing as well as it is. Something I've wondered about you, Art, have you always grown up a pro wrestling fan? Like, have you been forever or did, like, I know you said you always had a microphone in your hand. You knew you were going to be an interviewer performer in some way and have the spotlight on you. Did it kind of just happen and you started loving it or did you kind of always want to do it?
I never watched professional wrestling growing up. I was never a professional wrestling fan. I stumbled into the world of professional wrestling after I got a broadcast degree at the University of Mississippi. I was their primary MC for all of baseball, basketball, football games. So I already kind of had my feet wet throughout college as I was learning all of these, like how to project to a crowd of thousands. But I didn't know what I wanted to do when I graduated with a broadcast degree. And it's really hard to get a broadcast job right out of college. And so I really lucked out. My athletic director at the time at Ole Miss was like, well, Mackenzie, what do you want to do after you leave here? And I didn't know. I wanted to move to Nashville and work in sports, entertainment, or music. And then I ended up having a meeting with some of the executives of TNA Impact. And they were like, perfect, you're going to be the next Christy Hemme. And I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. They're like, can you start tomorrow? I said, no, I've got to graduate college and then I will be there. So starting in May, right after I'd graduated, I moved to Nashville, started working at TNA and really just like immersed myself into the world of professional wrestling because I knew nothing. Like the way I was processing this was I was watching videos on YouTube. At the time it was like EC3 and Drew Galloway, which is Drew McIntyre now, was there. And so I was like writing down like, okay, Drew hates EC3. Why? And I was like creating those stories and like bullet points a little bit and saying like, Drew is Scottish. He's this. And like, so my brain could visually see it. And I could also then put names to the facts as well for me to study. So I was writing articles for the website and doing social media. I was doing kind of a little bit of everything with the company, but I was learning throughout my entire time, which I'm so thankful for those days. It was like, it was very hard. I think my first live interview was with Jeff Hardy. And I'm like, what am I supposed to ask Jeff Hardy live on camera for 30 minutes? Like, I just started in this. I have no clue. Right. So I somehow found my way out of it, or not my way out of it, but I found my way through it through the interview. But that's a learning experience that I just learned on the fly and had to be uncomfortable to now be knowledgeable in this world of professional wrestling. And I, again, I'm very thankful for that time of that growing phase through TNA, through the beginning years of professional wrestling to where I am now, to feel like I kind of have my feet planted in the ground of the world of professional wrestling.
It's such an amazing thing. There's so many weird like parallels between you and myself, because I'm just like thinking about it, because I didn't know anything about pro wrestling until I got my old job, which was 6 years ago. I never grew up watching it. I knew nothing about it. I only knew about it because of Total Divas, because that was like the time of Total Divas when they were like on E and I was watching reality TV. So, but I didn't watch the wrestling. I was just watching the Bellas and all these beautiful women that I just thought were interesting and cool, and the fashion and stuff, which is also what you talk about, and kind of falls into your lap. And then when you're in it, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool, like how you navigate yourself through it. And now all this time later, like, look at where you are. And this is, you know, you're making waves in different ways in the business that other women aren't, which is awesome and cool. So I feel like I was meant to kind of meet you, because you're going to be someone that I'm going to like turn to for advice and stuff, because I was just thrown in a debut match with TNA. Not a match, but I did like a segment for TNA last week, and it was like my first time doing anything. And, you know, that's where you had started too. So it's just interesting parallels where I'm going to be like, I might text you and be like, hey, what did you think about that?
Please.
Because I do respect you so much in what you do.
You know what? There's very few of us women in the business, really. Like, of course, the women wrestlers, there's tons out there. There's so many that are learning, so many that have made it. But I think us on the announcer side, there's really not a lot of us that are in this world that are like just like the managers and the announcers. So yes, please, however I can help, like I'm happy to lend whatever knowledge I have. And if I don't have it, I will try to find it for you. So
yeah.
yes, I appreciate that. And it's funny that you mentioned that you were growing up watching Total Divas. And I had mentioned that to Nikki and Brie whenever we were talking in my episode of Threads, because the amount of girls that have said that, that are active on the roster or not active on the roster, like that have been like, I just didn't know what I was doing. I just was like, the Bella Twins, understood, know who they are. I'm kind of going to follow in their footsteps. And having them on my episode of Threads was just so amazing to get to pick their brain, because they are some trailblazers in the world of professional wrestling. So I feel like watching Total Divas is something that we all were doing to understand what was going on.
For sure. I wish they would bring it back, because I think if they utilize some of the women now too, it would be even better. Like imagine Jade and Bianca and, you know, these kind of women doing Total Divas right now in what's going on in pop culture and what's going on just like in the world. Becky Lynch, who's writing books, you know, people are in movies, like all these kinds of things that are happening. Like they're not just in this pro wrestling space anymore and their names outside of it. So like, imagine the fashion on Total Divas now too, just because they would know.
Which is
about
just
it.
Also like a testament to the women and what they're really doing and what they're changing today. And I mean, we look back at like, we talk about Mickey and Barbie Blank, Kelly is going to be we've already filmed our episode for Threads. It's going to launch next week. But like they were just trying to figure it out. They were having these bra and panty matches and just like being told to kind of sit aside. And like we didn't know they didn't know essentially what they were going to be needed to do. But now the women are really like paving the way for females in a male dominated space. And it's such an amazing thing to watch today as a female.
Oh my God. And a lot of them are wives and mothers and doing it while also juggling family life and so many things that women can relate to, no matter what your job is or what you're doing. Like if you're sitting at home struggling doing this, like you can relate to these people, and it's just so awesome to see. I think it's inspiration for young girls growing up right now too, that don't know what they want to do and maybe can watch them and be like, oh, maybe I want to get into that now too. So I think it's a healthy outlet, and I think us talking about it is just the right step in any way that we can, whether it's through Threads, whether it's through my podcast, whatever we're doing. Like it's such a heartwarming thing to see. And I've been blessed meeting women like you and women like Mickey who empower other women and are supportive of other women, because that's not always the case either.
Right.
it can get bad. And that's kind of the stigma that women have, is the cattiness and like that kind of shit. And I'm very lucky that I've never had to deal with that. I've had the support, and it sounds like you have as well, as you have very many close females in the business.
Well, there's always bad apples. There's always bad apples in the group, but at the same time, it's navigating and finding the right people that you want to be surrounded by as well, and choosing your crew, choosing your people, your clique, and who you're spending your most time with when you're on the road, when you're off the road. I've found really big importance in surrounding myself with people that really lift me up instead of try to drag me down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're the company that you keep as well. So if you remain positive and you're surrounded by that positivity, it's only going to help you along in your journey.
That's right.
But with you, you're kind of doing so much. Like, you've backstage interviewing, you're commentating, you're ring announcing. Like, do you have a preference in the sense of what you kind of want to, even, you know, after the musical, after the tour, that kind of stuff, is there a goal in mind for you when it comes to a preference in that you want to kind of laser focus on as a comeback, or in a company or something like that?
Well, I think backstage interviewing has always been my bread and butter. I've really figured out how to navigate a conversation and make it feel like a conversation on air. I think that's a skill that I've really figured out through all these years, because I want it to feel like when I'm on television, when I'm doing a backstage interview, that it's just friends hanging out. That's something I've really had a goal to do. So in terms of that, like, I love having conversations for Threads. Like, I really want to put so much effort and time into that, to show those sides of a conversation that really aren't being told, that are untold stories that mean so much and are so special to so many talent, guests, celebrities, superstars, the list goes on. But in terms of like which version of broadcasting I like the best, I have to say it's probably interviewing. My second would be ring announcing. I've really had some fun doing that. I know Samantha Irvin. She's beautifully gifted with such an amazing voice that it's a range, because she's so skilled in her vocals as a singer, that I am not that. I will 100% say I am not that. But we all, that's the cool part about being a ring announcer, is you can find your strengths in your announcements and what makes it your own. So for me, when I was doing the WWE live events towards the end of my run in WWE, I was having so much fun, because I was just like giving different cadence for different superstars that felt right, that felt natural. And I was really starting to settle into that and love that. So I would love to kind of continue that craft a little bit somewhere. I just don't know where and when.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and you mentioned Samantha Irvin. Lillian Garcia was just in the ring with her too on Raw, which was two legends. And Alicia Taylor from NXT has now moved up to SmackDown as well. So I love to see it. Samantha's phenomenal, but I just think, you know, these women ring announcers are kind of taking over the scene. So
yeah,
I think
we love to see it for more. We love to see it. Yes, 100%.
Do you have a dream guest for Threads that maybe you know or you're working towards, or someone that you hope to get on very soon?
Yeah, so I can tell you, I'm filming with Natty in 2 weeks. So Natty and I have started discussing. Like, whenever I had the idea about this show, I told Bianca first, and Bianca and I finally put something on the books. And then with Natty, she has like closets in her home that are full of like, it's full of wardrobe and jackets. And obviously, knowing the history of her family and the business, I'm so excited to hear what she has to say. So Natty and Bianca are right off the bat. If I could have someone that's like a dream guest, I'd love to get Ric Flair on. I think Ric Flair would have so many stories to tell about his jackets. And then in conjunction with Charlotte, like, those robes were made out of design. There's a reason that they were created. And so I'd love to pick their brains on what's going on in their world, and how and why they chose the things that they did. So yeah, that's kind of like immediate goals. When we talk about long-term goals, it's kind of just a matter of like seeing what I can accomplish right off the bat, and then saying the sky's the limit, right? It's just a matter of getting there.
Yeah, that's usually how I end these interviews too, is I always like to ask my guests like this year coming up, 2024, like what is that big picture for you? What is that big goal? Because I want you to look back on my podcast, or we'll talk about it in like a year from now and be like, remember when you said that? Now you're doing it. Like, I like to do that. So do you have like that big picture for you, that big thing where you'll be like, now I'm good. Like, that's exactly what I wanted.
I think it's so hard to determine that exactly. But for me, like, I'm really happy with the trajectory of how Threads is going and like where we're at and the viewership and like what people are tuned into these stories that are being told with these guests. So I'd love to work like more on that and to really just see it explode and to just like go somewhere, whether it be on a streaming service, whether it go to a Netflix, an Amazon, a Peacock, like that content's mm-hmm. there, or whether it just kind of get bigger in just a digital space, whether it be YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. So I'm really excited to work on that and to see where that goes. But I also, at the end of the day, like I was just talking to Mickey about this the other day of like, I just want happiness. Like I just want to be happy. And I know that sounds so cliche, but I think if you're happy in where you are in your life and you've got like all these positive things going for you, you're going to be happier in the long run, in your career, professionally, personally, mentally, all of those things. So it's just a matter of me of like doing what my heart says and what my heart wants to do, and making myself happy is a priority this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good one, I think.
Right?
I think happiness is, as cliche it is, it's a very important thing.
Right, it's doing it for me, nobody else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that so much for you. Like I've said, you are an inspiration for me. Aww. I know that's cliche to say, but I do look up to strong women who, like yourself, and the things that you're doing I think are awesome. Where can people find Threads if they want to watch some episodes? Now you just talked about a bunch of episodes that are coming up, so tell them where they can follow you, find sure. it, subscribe, everything.
So Threads is on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Mackenzie and Mitchell. It's Threads with Mackenzie Mitchell is the official name of the YouTube show, the series. Or you can go to my social media, Mackenzie and Mitchell, and connect through there. In my link in bio, it's got all of the things that I'm doing, my jewelry business, everything I've got going on in my life is all there. But Threads with Mackenzie Mitchell is where it is the series name.
I love it so much. And it's awesome. Like, seriously, it's really, really good.
Thank you.
And Last Match Musical, if you haven't seen it and they're touring in your city, go watch it. It's,
yes,
it's
please come.
It's so much fun. I've heard from everyone. Dave just was at the Queen's show because he was the guest referee. And yeah. He would not stop raving to me about it. And I was like, all right, Dave, relax. You know what I mean?
We had a really good time. Like, and it's crazy that, like, I've been on tour for 6 weeks. We end the show on Saturday. So the show will end in Atlanta. But then I know we may be going on a second tour. I don't know where, but there's definitely positive things in the works for the Last Match. So I'm really, really excited to see where everything goes there.
Listen, the more people love it and go see it, the more it won't stop. And there's going to have to be more places for it to go.
Right.
So everyone, like, it's such a unique concept and it's such a cool thing. So more wrestling, totally. More musicals and rock. And
yes,
it's just a fun time.
Yes.
It's an experience.
100%.
Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for the time. I had such a pleasure, like, actually sitting down, having a conversation and meeting you. And I hope we can talk more soon. And I'm going to support Threads and your jewelry, which, by the way, is amazing. So hopefully,
thank you. You know, thank you so much. Yeah. And like I said, if there's anything I can help with, text me. You've got my information. And
I'm going to bother you. Again, like this girl.
The women in this industry, like, we all have to stick together and to band together. So I'm happy to help in whatever way I can.
You are amazing. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate you. And I can't wait for you all to see what Mackenzie will be doing in 2024, because I know it will be big things and I can say I'm friends with her now.
Yes, so, that's it.
As always, Gabby AF, we will be back. Until then, LYMNB, love you most, no backs.
It's about to get Gabby